Good afternoon, everyone. It is 2 o'clock p.m. on Thursday, July 17th, 2025. I would like to call the Ponsonlet Town Council to order. I would ask everyone to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let the record show that Vice Mayor Gary Smith is absent and the remaining council members are all present in council chambers. We will move to item 4, additions, corrections, or deletions to the agenda. Mike.
Yes, thank you. We have several. There's, first of all, is adding item 12A. That's the fire station feasibility study, which was continued from the council budget workshop on Tuesday. Also 12B, which is the fire department overtime discussion, that was also continued from that workshop to today. And then I'm going to be adding an item 13A, and that's a request for direction to purchase vacant property for future stormwater improvements. Yeah, 13A is a request for direction to purchase vacant property for future stormwater improvements.
Are there any other amendments or modifications? Seeing none, I move to adopt the agenda as modified with the addition of items 12A, 12B, and 13A as set forth on the record.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted as modified on the record. We are up to citizens' participation. The opportunity for you to speak on any item that is not listed in our agenda, and please make sure that you filled out a pink slip and provided to our town clerk, Kim Trebano. And if you have any questions that we can answer now, we will, but in the interest of accuracy, we may defer to a later time and add, or perhaps add it as a topic to a future agenda. And as a reminder, all council members and our staff are available to you through email, meetings, phone calls, and you're not limited to the 5 minutes that you are today. So I have one, and that is Mr. Fields. It is on the budget. You know our budget is on the agenda. I'm not sure if this is general.
General,
I think it's appropriate to come on up. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Steve Field, 6 Mars, Old North. Just a couple of general questions. I asked Mike, and I'm sure he has the answer already, but I was just wondering what the year-to-date spend was on our actuals. And I don't have the original budget. I was just wondering what the original budget for this year was, too.
Yeah, we can provide that to you. I mean, that should be online, our original budget, the adopted budget document. The year-to-date stuff, we do not have that, but our finance department will be preparing that. They do a running count of that each month with their monthly report.
So you don't see that at the end of each month, how much you spent for the total?
We do at the end of each month. But, yeah, they prepare the report, and then that becomes available. That's also posted online.
I struggle finding things online. I can't even find the your email addresses online. So,
okay, well, we can send that to you.
Okay. All right, fine. So we're going to I had some other questions on overtime fires, but we're going to discuss that later, so I'll wait.
Yes, that is on the agenda 12B, I think.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone else in the public who wishes to come up who may have not filled out a pink slip? Okay, seeing none, then our citizen participation is closed. Moving now, there are no items under Agenda 6, proclamations, presentations, and awards. We do have a consent agenda with 5 items on it. Does anyone wish to pull one of the items? Anyone in the audience? Seeing none, I move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. We are up to agenda item 8, and this is for the appointment to the Cultural Services, Historic Preservation, and Tree Advisory Board. Who will be presenting that? Kim.
Yeah, that's Kim.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. The Cultural Service, Historic Preservation, and Tree Advisory Board consists of 7 seats. The only seat, current seat available at this time was for alternate seat 2. Ms. Jer Kessler has applied for appointment to the board.
Thank you very much. We have one applicant for seat number 2, the alternate. And does our applicant wish to come up and speak to the council?
No.
Okay. Are there any questions of the council on this item? Any questions from the public? Is there a motion? Hearing none, thank you, Ms. Kessler, for applying. We will continue to advertise the alternate position. Yes.
Chair Kessler, 81 Bushman Drive. I find it strange that having served on the cultural board as alternate number 1, I've been forced to apply for every position and you as a town council have refused to make a motion on it. I cannot help but feel that this is retaliatory in some form against either my having run for a position on the town council or something to do with our farmers market. If I hadn't served on the council, if I weren't a standing member of the town of Ponce Inlet, if I wasn't in good standing with the Marine Science Center where I volunteer and work, I could understand perhaps you have some hesitations, but given that I have served in that function, I would like to know why not one of you can make a motion for this and why this is not retaliatory. Thank you.
What I can tell you is that Resolution 2025-06, which provides updated requirements for eligibility and appointments, board members serve at the pleasure of the council. Item number 9, public hearings. Now, we have 9A. And this is a second reading of Ordinance 2025-04. Cliff, could you read that by title only, please?
Yes, Mayor. It's Ordinance 2025-04 by title only, an ordinance of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Volusia County, Florida, rezoning and changing the zoning map designation of a portion of real property located on the west side of the South Peninsula Drive between Calumet Avenue and Inlet Harbor Road, totaling 0.57 acres, more or less, from Conservation C to low-density single-family residential R1, providing for findings and intent, repealing all conflicting ordinances, providing for severability, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you. Mike?
Yeah, this is second reading of the ordinance. If you have any questions, Darren Lear is here to answer them.
Thank you, Mike. Are there any questions of council as to this ordinance? Nope. Anything from the public? Any questions by the public? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll do it. I make a motion to approve zoning amendment case number RZNE 16-2024 to change the zoning designation of the subject parcel located at 4784 South Peninsula Drive from C conservation to R1 low density single family residential.
On second reading. Bill. Second, on second reading. Uh-huh. On second reading.
Oh, on second reading. Sorry.
Second.
Nope. Is there a second? Okay. Mr. Villanueva. Okay. We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Milano.
Yes.
Councilmember Villanueva.
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky.
Yes.
Councilmember White.
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Patty, for your work on this. We're very appreciative. Thank you. And now we are at 9B, Ordinance 2025-05, second reading. Cliff, would you please read it by title only?
Yes, Mayor, Ordinance 2025-05, read by title only, an ordinance of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Volusia County, Florida, rezoning and changing the zoning map designation of a portion of real property located on the west side of South Peninsula Drive between Calumet Avenue and Inlet Harbor Road, totaling 0.46 acres, more or less, from Conservation C to low-density single-family residential R1, providing for findings and intent, repealing all conflicting ordinances, providing for severability, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you. Mike?
Yep, same thing. This is second reading, and Mr. Lear is here to answer any questions you might have.
Okay. Now, we have this on second reading. Does anyone have any questions on council? Anyone in the public? Seeing none, I'll take a motion, please.
I make a motion for the approval of the zoning map amendment case number RZNE07-2025 to change the zoning designation of the subject parcel 643000010091, located on the west side of Peninsula Drive, north of Inland Harbor Boulevard, and south of Calumet Drive, from C Conservation to R1 Low Density Single Family Residential, on second reading.
A second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0.
Thank you, and again, thank you. Planning and Development, thank you so much. Okay, so now we're at 10A, Resolution 2025-08, and this is a vacation of an easement. Cliff, could you please read the resolution by title only?
Yes, Mayor, Resolution Number 2025-08, read by title only, a resolution of the Town of Ponsonnet, Volusia County, Florida, vacating a 15-foot access drainage and utility easement in the center of the parcel located at 4915 South Atlantic Avenue, pursuant to Chapter 70, Article 4, Section 70.111 of the Town of Ponsonnet Code of Ordinances, authorizing execution of affecting documents, providing legislative findings, providing for conflicts, providing for severability, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you. Mike?
All right. I believe either Darren or Patty will be. Okay, Patty will be presenting this item.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. Let me get this started. Okay. You will be considering Resolution 2025-08 to vacate an easement today. The owner's representative, Jessica Gao, Esquire, is here today, and the property owner is White Waves, LLC. The applicant is requesting approval to vacate a drainage access and utility easement located on the subject parcel to construct a single-family structure. The area measures 15 feet wide, running the length of the parcel for 876 feet, and here you see it highlighted on this slide. The subject parcel is located within the Ponds Park subdivision, which was created in 1947. The existing property measures approximately 201 feet in width by 876 feet in depth for a total of 3 acres. And here's the original subdivision plat. Okay. The subject parcel was part of a minor replat in 2024, MR24-2021, that split a larger parcel into 3 parcels. And you can see that here, parcel 1, 2, and 3. And then in, it was, parcel 2 and 3 was then combined in minor replat 5-2024. And it was combined for the purpose of constructing that single family home. Okay. The property is zoned R1, and it has a future land use, low-density single-family residential. And as you can see on the zoning map, the abutting properties are all R1. And the abutting properties also all have a future land use designation of low-density single-family residential. The easement is located within the center of the subject parcel. You can see that on this slide. The highlighted yellow area is in the exact center of the property. And then what will remain in existence is 2 7.5-foot drainage access utility easements on the north and south, and also a 10-foot drainage access utility easement on the west side of the property. So, pursuant to Section 70-112 of the Code of Ordinance, the vacation request documentation was provided to the Public Works Director, Police Chief, Fire Chief / Public Safety Director, Town Engineer, and the City of Port Orange Utility Department for review and comment, and they all sent back comments that they had no issues or concerns. The applicant provided all of the letters of no objection by the applicable utility providers The vacation will have no negative impacts and will not affect the ingress or egress to the surrounding adjacent properties. And for all of those reasons, based on the findings of this report, staff recommends approval of Resolution 2025-08, vacating the drainage, access, and utility easement located on the center of the subject property. Do you have any questions?
Does anyone on council have any questions? No questions?
I do.
You have a question?
Yes, just a couple. Have they submitted the plans yet for this property?
They have not submitted the plans yet.
Okay, good. And the only reason I'm asking that question, and I'm okay with this, but if for whatever reason they decide they want to split the lots back up again, would they be required to reinstate the easement of the drainage excess and the utility easement?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Is there anyone in the audience that has any questions of Ms. Rippey? And I see that we do have Jessica Gao here, and I'm not sure, would you like to come up and speak? Or you know what? Let me just find out if there's any questions. Or, thank you. Thank you, Patty.
Okay, thank you.
And please just put your appearance on the record, and then we'll see if there's any questions.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
For the record, Jessica Gao, Caldwell Law Firm, 1 Daytona Boulevard, Daytona Beach, Florida.
Thank you so much. Does anyone have any questions of the representative and the attorney for the applicant? Does anyone in the audience have any questions? Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Okay. So we're ready for a motion, please.
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
I make a motion to approve Resolution 2025-08, vacation of the drainage easement accessible and utility easement, case number VAC5-2025 at 4915 South Atlantic Avenue.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0.
Thank you very much for coming. Thank you again, our Planning and Development Department.
It's frightening that we think a lot.
Okay. Now we are up to 11A.
All right.
And this is Resolution 2025-07. And I'm going to ask our attorney to please read this by title only, please.
Yes, Mayor, Resolution 2025-07, read by title only, a resolution of the Town of Ponsonlet, Volusia County, Florida, adopting the proposed millage rate for the levying of ad valorem property taxes for municipal purposes on all taxable property within the town for the fiscal year beginning October 1, 2025, and ending September 30th, 2026, establishing the public hearing dates and times, providing for severability, providing conflicting resolutions, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you so much. Mike?
Yes, thank you. So this resolution is adopted every year to set the millage rate. As the council knows and remembers, once this rate is set, it cannot be raised any further between now and when the budget is adopted in September, but it can always be lowered. This is the product of the work of the staff putting this together, the Central Services Advisory Board, and also the council at our budget workshop, and of course the public input. So I'll just read some of the highlights for this. This is a rate that is set at 6.25 mils, which is estimated to produce $8,281,730 in ad valorem revenue at a 95% tax collection rate. The town's current millage rate is 6.4559 mils, and the rollback rate for this year is 6.2180 mils. So the proposed millage rate is 0.51% above the rollback rate. According to the Volusia County property appraisers, the value of property, the collective taxable value, I should say, of property in Ponce Inlet has increased by 4.62% from last year. With a rate of 6.25 mils, a homesteaded property with a prior value year of $500,000 would pay a maximum of $1 more in taxes per year compared to the previous year. A non-homesteaded property would be capped at a taxable value increase of 10% and would pay an additional $210. The budget memorandum that went out with the budget a couple weeks ago is also attached for your review. And then let's see, I'd mentioned that about the millage rate. One thing that the resolution also does is set the public hearing dates for the budget adoption. And those are Wednesday, September 3rd at 6 p.m. and then Thursday, September 18th at 6 p.m. Now, since the workshop, I just wanted to give you and the public an update. Since the workshop that was held on Tuesday, We have been able to adjust the budget for per the council's direction. That includes two new positions for Public Works, which would start at mid-year. Added an additional $9,000 to Public Works to purchase another mower. Moved the Pollard Park Rec Playground fence to the Parks and Recreation Fund, taking that out of the general fund. And let's see, moved some of the lease buyouts to be funded out of land acquisition instead of the general fund. We were not able to, and that's all with keeping the same proposed millage rate as 6.25 mils. So we were not able to include the $500,000 for the match for the site feasibility study for the fire department, but we don't think that we will actually need that next fiscal year based on the timing. If the council requests it, we will go ahead and apply for another appropriation as we did last year. Assuming we get that we would find that out at the end of the state's next fiscal year, around June 30th. By the time we get that, let's say we do get it, it's granted, not vetoed, we would then be asked to enter into an agreement with one of the state agencies where that money is placed. By the time that gets done, we will then really realistically be into fiscal year 26-27. And by that time, we will have sufficient funds accrued in the land acquisition fund to meet the match. So that's it, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you so much, Mike. So, Councilman Villanella, do you have any questions for Mike?
Well, it's not so much a question as the way I feel about this. I'm looking at this, looking at the 6.4984 millage rate, because we can always lower that up over the next couple of meetings. However, I think it gives us a cushion and a thought process for us to thoroughly analyze what we may be looking at in additional expenses that were unanticipated at this snapshot in time that may crop up between now and the end of the fiscal year, specifically when we look at anything that may become a detail that we may have missed with regards to the firehouse. And there are several other things that we're looking at also. So that is my thought process there, to give us that leeway and that additional time to digest the nuances of all this information.
Thank you, Joe. So you would like us to consider a 6.45 millage rate right now?
Correct.
Okay. And would that be one that we would still be working on to lower? I mean, that's what would be reflected on, you know, the property tax bill, but are you looking to work with it between now and then, or that would be the millage rate?
No. What I'm saying is that we work on it between now and then.
Okay. Yeah, looking for that padding. Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Councilman White.
And Joe, again, I appreciate your thoughts, as always, but again, we discussed this on Tuesday, and I thought we had kind of reached the consensus that at 6.25 would be our starting point. We all talked about any additions that we might like to see, and that's where, you know, we discussed adding the Public Works individuals. And Bill, I know you were about the $500,000 for the fire department if that comes to play. But as Michael explained, that will not be affecting us in the 25-26 budget. And if you look at the spreadsheet that he sent to us from the land acquisition fund, potentially the funds will be there at that time. So, and you know, we sometimes talk about perception. And Joe V, I totally understand what you're saying. We can always go down, we can't go up. But again, I made the statement Tuesday, I'll make the statement again, and Mayor Prinsky just said that, you know, your first bill that you get that is an estimate, it would come out, if we agreed, at 6.45. I think that sends the wrong message, because all across the country we continue to hear that we want to reduce our spending, we want to get a handle on what we're currently doing. So I'm just concerned that would send the wrong message. And you know, I said it before and I'll say it again, I think the 6.25 is a solid number. I think that it sends the right message, and it sets us up for future year budgets that we can continue to focus on that millage rate. So that's just my personal thoughts. Thank you.
But is there anything else, though? Okay. Bill?
I talked to Mike concerning the $500,000, and he explained that money in the 26-27 budget will be there through the land acquisition. But you heard me Tuesday. I don't trust anyone in Tallahassee, in Washington, D.C. I checked with Kim today, and we're still $36,000 requesting from FEMA. We have, after they did to what they did to the First Step Shelter, I do not trust us that we will ever see that $36,000. So I cannot feel comfortable locking this in. I agree with you, the 625 I think is a perfect one, but I do not feel comfortable today locking us in at a 625, realizing that there's $36,000 and possibly more dollars out there that we are not going to see because of, I call it dodge. They call it doge. I call it dodge because they're dodging everything. You know, straight, everybody to their own words. And I don't feel comfortable with it. I don't want us in the next 2 months to find out they've pulled another stunt that can hurt us. So I think the 6.4 is way too high. When I checked with Kim, the money for the FEMA, yep. Just the money that we do from FEMA, I mean, one-tenth of a mil, 6.35, would give us $102,000. We don't need that. We don't need that. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel comfortable with a 6.25. I don't feel comfortable with a 6.45. I have no problem compromising at this point with a 6.35. And we still have the ability to lower it in September. That's the whole idea. We do not know what is going to be pulled and dumped on us over the next 2 months. We're spending thousands of dollars this week because we get an email or a message from the state saying we have to do this in a week. Thousands. I asked Kim to keep track. I think the first day was like 6.5 hours or something like that of our salaries being dumped because of the program that we now have in the state of Florida. We have to come up with that money someplace else because these people still have to do their job. So I don't feel comfortable to say 6.25 locked in today. I don't feel comfortable locking in 6.45 today. There has got to be a compromise in there that we can cover the mistakes and the idiocy that we're constantly dealing with on a regular basis. Now, I don't trust that we're going to see that $36,000. I will say to publicly, I will announce I am wrong when we see it, but I don't feel comfortable with it today.
And if I could say at this moment is that what I talked about at the workshop, which is resiliency beyond flooding, economic resiliency, all the stressors and shockers that we may get, because it could be a health crisis, it could be FEMA not reimbursing us anything. So from a resiliency point of view, Bill, I agree with you, and I would feel comfortable with 6.35. As a compromise number and also as a number that does provide resiliency in an area that is beyond just flooding.
Sorry, we're only talking 100, rise above only. Yep. You know, I wish I made that when I was a school teacher. They're still not making it today. We're talking $136,000 from what Kim told me. And I just feel comfortable because we just don't know what's going to come up. And if we lock ourselves into the lower number,
okay,
we have no choice.
So he got a rebuttal. Can I? Can I make a rebuttal?
Excuse me?
Can I make a rebuttal?
Oh, sure. Oh,
okay.
Sure.
I just want to say, all right, so Michael, our reserves right now are roughly 7.5. Is that what I think?
7.3.
7 point what?
7.3.
Okay, last year we were what?
For that is, let me pull it up real quick.
We were in the sixes basically last year. And again, round numbers. So, Bill, I guess my point on that is we grew our reserves a full month last year, correct?
Correct.
And we're actually adding on more dollars to this year, even though we're lowering the millage rate because the 4.5% increase in property tax. So we didn't spend all the money last year that we budgeted, and we put it in reserves. We're adding more money this year to the budget than we did last year, not a lot, but 100 and something thousand at 6.25. So if everything is equal, we should be adding on to our reserves again. So that money will be there. It is, and you know, we're only talking 100 and something thousand dollars. I get it. That is a lot of money. But again, yes, we can tell our residents we did lower it from 6.45. We're hoping it's going to be 6.25, but the bill they're going to get is 6.35. I think it's going to send the wrong message, and we're only talking about 100 and something thousand compared to growing our reserves a full month last year on a lesser amount of money.
Yeah. I think the bulk of our reserve was, and I can be wrong, and correct me, Kim, if I'm wrong on this, that the reserve that we increased this year is because our expenses were lower. One of those reasons why our expenses were lower is we had three, four positions that took us forever to fill. So we weren't paying benefits. We were paying overtime, which nowhere comes near to the amount that we would be paying for the salary plus the benefits. And people always forget that. Okay. But my point is this. 5 years ago, our reserve had built up to almost $9,000, 9 months, which is the maximum mm-hmm. we're allowed to have. It went all the way down to 4.5 months. Mm-hmm. But because of absolutely fiscal excellence by our town manager and our employees, we've able to build it back up. I don't want the chance of us getting hammered again. To me, I would love to see a 9-month reserve every single year because you just, I mean, as a simple example, what happens if the fire department actually does flood? What are we going to do when we don't have equipment? We've got to come up with something. You don't know. My whole philosophy has always been, and you know this because we've talked about it before, is don't react, be proactive. And to me, proactive is making sure that we are covered for anything that could happen.
And let me share one thing with you that I talked about Tuesday. From our rental program, the long-term rental program, and Michael, you know where I'm going with this, there's $135,000 we budgeted. I think it was, don't hold me the exact number, 175, I think, is revenue from our rental, long-term rental department. We had a shortfall because of not being able to enforce that. In that part alone is $135,000 that we had to make up somewhere in expenses, because as Michael stated, that money is used to pay expenses. So we had to make up that $135,000 from another department, another bucket of money to cover those expenses. If we do what we say we're going to do this year, we're budgeting 175 again. Cliff's coming back with some new verbiage. We get the 175. So that's a gain of 135,000 that we don't have to pull out of expenses to cover it like we had to this year. So there's your 135.
Well, I've been doing this, I guess, for 13 years. I've never locked in to a number either exactly at or lower than what could happen. Mm-hmm. And things happen. I'd rather see us say 4.35, which is lower than we had last year. It's still over a tenth lower than we had last year, but it gives us the flexibility over the next month and a half, 2 months.
But if I'm telling you where your flexibility is, Bill, in that one line only. And if Chief gets a hold of our overtime, as we talked about, it was an anomaly.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with you.
But my whole point is there's things in there, Bill, that happen.
Do that in September.
But we don't know that's going to happen by September. That's my whole point. We're talking about $135,000. I'm telling you, you've got.
Chance of locking in something that we know we can never raise.
But we know we can do it. This is what they submitted. No one.
If I can.
Sure.
If I can, thank you, both of you. You've made very good points, both of you. I'm just wondering if Joe wishes to add anything to this conversation at this point.
No, having sat through these things for many, many years, we have the option to lower it. The fact that we strike the higher rate or a compromise in between that, as you all discussed, gives us that flexibility, and we don't know what we don't know over the next 2 months. Do we really understand what the complete cuts from DOGE are going to be imposed on the state, then down to the municipalities over the next couple of months? And there are so many other things that we're not aware of, at the federal level that are being funneled down to Tallahassee, they're going to be coming down to us shortly, and we don't know the details of that. I sat in a meeting yesterday, and the topics that were covered are mind-boggling with what is occurring with the Doge cups, what's being funneled down to the state, which is going to be pushed down to the municipality. So it just gives us 2 months of a thought process to analyze the unknown. And we can always go back. We can always go down. We can't go up.
Okay, so I would like to know amongst the three of you, is there a percentage that you can all agree upon?
The compromise six that Bill five. Just mentioned is...
You're at the 6.25. Okay, and Joe?
6.35? That's fine. Okay. It gives us the cushion.
Okay, and I agree with the 6.35. And although you made some excellent points, we know that we can lower it.
Yeah, can I make one comment?
Of course.
We cannot continue to manage on what ifs. And we can sit here right now and say, what if, what if, what if? And we're not talking about a whole lot of money here. I'm talking about perception with our residents and what they're asking for us to do that elected every one of us in this room. We don't know, I think I know, but we don't know if we're going to be charged property tax next year. If Governor DeSantis gets his way, we won't be sitting here talking about it. I don't know what we're going to do. And I think that's the craziest idea in the world. Would I love not to pay property tax? We all would, but that's not reality. But it's a possibility. I mean, but again, Bill, we're talking about $135,000 that we can say, hey, you know, I've already shown you $135,000 where it's at. I just think, again, we owe this to our residents to say, look, it's 6.25. All the residents that have heard that and the compliments that we got from Tuesday's meeting, because when we left here, everybody felt like we had a general agreement at 6.25. It's changed. Well, I know that. I just think it sends the wrong message. And that's the reason I'm not quibbling over $100,000, but I am quibbling over perception.
You know, I don't have the chart. Is there any information you could provide us with respect to the impact on the residents at 6.35 with the, I don't know if you have anything there on a $500,000 house. I don't think you do, Mike, because I don't anything.
We have a spreadsheet out. We could, Kim or Jerry, do you think you could go back and run that potentially? It would take a few minutes.
I think we would like to see the impact of the numbers if we're able to comfortably do that. We could.
It would raise by that table, but the impact, I mean, that's, we just have to plug that in. We just have to plug it in.
If Kim, thank you. What should we wait on, about 15, 20 minutes? Oh, she said it'll be quicker than that. Yeah. I think that would be helpful if we could look at some real numbers. Yeah. I'm going to absolutely go to audience comments now. You're very good, Bill. Okay, so here we have, you hear what we're talking about. Is there anyone that would like to come up and speak now? Of course, Mr. Fields, please come up.
Steve Field, 6 Marzal. Do you remember that financial fact sheet I gave you guys last month?
Yes.
1.6 million additional cash at the beginning of this fiscal year. Where did that go? I think it went to the reserves. Can someone answer that question?
Hey, Jerry, you want to take a stab at that? Yeah, okay, she says reserves. Right.
Went to reserves. So we added 1.6 million, million dollars to the reserves last year. That's a big number. In other words, we overcharged the citizens of this town by $1.6 million. Just think about that.
Thank you, Mr. Fields. Is there anyone else who would like to? Yes, Ms. Caswell.
Good afternoon, Council. Elizabeth Caswell, 4744 South Peninsula Drive. It's good to be back. I am thrilled to be a part of this conversation and happy to hear you all having it. I have a couple of suggestions for how you might consider coming around a final mill rate this year. One of them is that when you're looking at something that potentially is going to exceed your budget for the year, you take a look at what's going on inside the household and take a look at potentially deceased or assisting some of the projects that you have underway. So you can put a pin in certain projects or slow roll some hiring should we need to do that. I understand that our reserves, and I think Skips makes an excellent point, that they are now up over 7 months, and we did add that extra million and a half. We have a way to pull our belt straps tighter if we need to, should the issue arise for the town. Now, I appreciate wanting to keep the mill rate high, and I think when Kim comes back with that number, we'll all say 625, 635. What's the matter? $20, $30 on a household, say at a $500,000 value. It's not the people in the town that are paying that necessarily, just the residents. We know that we ride on the shoulders of people who are not homesteaded in this town and people who come to visit our town. So when we think about our budget and how much we want to spend year over year, we have to consider the nearly 1 million people that come through our town every year versus the 3,400 people that vote in our elections each year. So we need to be looking at ways that we can more directly tax the people who are coming into our town and sharing that burden less with the residents of our town by imposing unfair taxes on them or taxes that seem ridiculous in light of the amount of reserves that we currently have and the complete flexibility and expertise that we have in managing our budget year over year and being able to, again, pull back where we need to. Our concerns regarding DOGE and the things that are happening there at the federal and the state level, isn't it our responsibility, perhaps as council members and even as citizens, to speak with our people at the state that are representing us and make sure that the things that we don't want to have happen from Tallahassee at least have a fighting chance of not happening from Tallahassee? We worry from our desks, but it's also our responsibility to advocate at the state level, which is something I know that our mayor does on a regular basis. I would encourage us to continue to look at those things. DOGE responsibilities lie with the state and at the federal level, and we have to make sure that we're doing what we can to have our voices heard at those levels so that those cuts impact us the least deleteriously as they can, okay? The least amount of bad impact. And then when it comes, again, to projects in our own town, we have an opportunity to pull back and pull up should needs change in our town, and I suggest that we take that opportunity. The other thing I wanted to say about DOGE and increasing the taxes and keeping more money than the 7 months we have in reserves now is that I also entrust our citizens to make good decisions about how they spend their discretionary money and how they personally choose to respond to any kinds of DOGE impacts that impact us at the state and federal level. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Yes, Mr. White.
Shannon White, 39 Coastal Oaks. I really feel that we have to look at this year-to-year experience that we have and the amount of money that we keep layering on. Just 4 or 5 years ago, our budget was $6 million. Now it's almost $11 million. And we seem to have this mindset of just, you know, spending versus cutting anything. We're not willing to, the attitude is we're not willing to cut or to reduce. We just keep adding on. It's like I was said on Tuesday, it's like we have a problem with overtime, and it's not just the fire department. We have a problem with overtime. But we keep budgeting for overtime based on experience. What is the resolution? What is the solution to these issues? And if you really dissect from line item, line item, line item, okay, and start addressing individual issues, you will find $100,000 savings here, there, and everywhere. So there is opportunity within these to manage better, to focus on the issues and manage appropriately. The other, I mean, she's going to come up that it's only going to mean a few dollars. You know, that's what it's going to come up to. But to Skip's point, it is perception that we continue to raise or to spend And we have the luxury at this point of the 4.62% increase in value. Well, just a few years ago, we had the reversal, okay? And in 2008, we had a recession, okay? I was buying properties in 2009, 10, 11 for, you know, cents on the dollar, okay? And I wish I would have kept them all because I'd be a rich man today. But the facts are is that we've got to be within our realm of understanding of we can't control everything. So let's hone in on what we can control and focus on some cuts and savings and some reductions instead of spending money on golf carts, electric bikes, you know, leasing vehicles and stuff of that sort. I just really feel like there's some opportunities in a lot of those categories that we can pull back, and we don't need to continue to increase. And if we are counting on the 4.62 every year increase in value, and I'm a little skeptical on the numbers because the condo values, I hear it all the time from friends and residents that lives in condos, that their property, I mean, assessed values and insurance and the cost of living in the condos is gone up drastically. And yet they're paying a big part of our taxes today, and most of them are non-homesteaded. So you start adding the assessments, the insurance, and the repairs, and you know, to comply, we might see a little erosion in our base there of these people might be leaving, you know. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. White. And I wanted to make sure that I provided, this is a public comment that we all received from our resident Barbara Davis. And what she had wanted to provide to us as part of public opinion, she's out of town. She writes that the town's property values increased $61,750,000. The Ponce portion of her property tax bill is approximately $5,700. The maximum that her tax can go up because the homestead is approximately $170,000. She states, and I am quoting from her email, "We need to raise taxes as much as necessary to upgrade infrastructure, especially public works and fire station. In a town with a $61 million increase, we do not need to have our first responders in a 40-year-old building in a flood zone and our public works working and sleeping in a pigsty. Floods in Texas, New Mexico, North Carolina, floods on Sailfish Drive for the first time in our 36 years here, floods on Bay Harbor and Jennifer. The resiliency vulnerability studies need to be implemented as soon as possible. I think if people do this cost-benefit analysis and realize Ponce is one-third the tax bill, but provides our very own fire, police, public works, permit, customer, cultural, community center, administrative, et cetera, services, they would agree." Barb Davis. Any other public comments? Okay, I think you all just had the opportunity to look at the sheet that Ms. McCall provided. I have to look at it, but would anyone like to start a conversation on this? Yes.
Mayor, first I'd like to comment on Barbara Davis's email. And again, I received it, and I've had a conversation with Barbara. As I continued to explain to her, the Building B, which is Public Works, is in the budget. We budgeted to do the fire station feasibility study. It's in the budget. Everything Barbara asked that we, in her request, is in the budget, based at 6.25. So I agree with her 100%, but it's in there. In Building B, the pigsty, that kind of took me back just a little bit, because it's not a pigsty. Does it need to be cleaned up, spruced up? Yes. Can it be? Yes. We put in the budget for two more public works individuals. Building B, they knocked it down today, and we're on the way to getting a new area over there. If they need an office for Steve, we can put it in there. So I want to get into this, but I want to respond to Barbara because I've already had this conversation with her. So thank you.
So who would like to talk about what we just received? Anyone? Bill?
Mayor, excuse me, if I could, I just want to point out the audience for the audience.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
yes,
the difference, what you're seeing now is at the 6.35. What was provided earlier was at the 6.25. The difference that there, if you want to look at, say, for the $500,000 level. So at 6.35, the taxes would go up by $48 versus a $1 at the 6.25 level. For non-homesteaded properties, it would be going up $265 per year versus the $210 at the 6.25 level.
Bucks.
That's the difference.
It would be 55. Is that what you said, Mike?
Wait, I'm sorry, Bill. What are you saying?
Mike, you said it would be 55 increase.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, for non-homesteaded, and then 47 for homesteaded.
One of the reasons I backed off the 6.45 that Joe was talking about is because Mike said in the 2025-26 year, we will have the money in the land acquisition fund. If that had not been explained to me, I would be here today agreeing with Joe concerning the 6.45 because we have a tendency, and one thing I love about Ponce Inlet reacts to things and becomes extremely proactive. That's the one thing I've watched happen since I've been living in this town for 25 years. We see something that could be happening. Cliff will tell us something that the legislature might be doing this, and we jump at it and have an ordinance or something in there ahead of time. I'm tired of people saying, well, because of this, we have to save a buck. Because that dollar in a month could be gone for whatever the reason it might be. And we won't be able to be proactive. We become reactive again. And I'm tired of being or listening to people say that we need to do this and then we have to react to it. We have to take care of Ponce Inlet. We cannot rely on someone else doing it for us. And it's just like the ordinance we passed. We're taking over the pickup of the garbage on Atlantic during hurricanes, and we're going to be getting reimbursed from FEMA. That's the way we wrote it. Am I wrong, Mike?
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen with FEMA.
But the money's going to be coming from FEMA if it happens, okay? So we can't trust that. We can't trust that. So if we pick up all that garbage on Atlantic, we may be biting the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yeah, we can take it out of the reserve. And then another disaster hits, and another disaster hits. And what would we bring the reserve down to a couple of years ago? What, 5.5 months, 4 months?
Yeah, something like that.
And when Barbara was on the council and the crash hit that Shannon was just talking about, we took it down to the bare minimum and didn't give a person a raise for how many years, Cliff? 5-6 years?
At least that.
Yeah.
And, so, and in addition, had to raise taxes because the legal fees were so significant.
So, and thank God we had it there because it was sitting, I think back time the maximum you could have was 7 months. And it was sitting there, and we dropped all of those hundred thousands of dollars. So I don't want to do that. I'm talking about the citizens. I cannot do that. Maybe it's my education background. I don't know. I just can't do that to people. I want to protect my citizens. I want to be good to my citizens. And I think that's the way of doing it. And I also know that 6.35 perception can be in a minute 6.25, which is my hope, because that's what we did last year. Remember, we went with high, and we brought it down, which we originally budgeted. And that's what we've done many, many years. But I want to have that flexibility. So
thank you, Bill.
I don't need to say anymore, because then I get into the things that I had to deal as an educator.
Mayor, may I have a comment?
Sure.
Okay. Bill, how much is it going to cost us to build a fire department? If we decide to build one from the ground up, what's our cost going to be?
Millions.
Correct. We don't know what it is yet. And we are planning for the fire department once we get the feasibility study done. The $100,000 that we're talking about right now won't even get anywhere close to putting a piece of paver
in. I understand.
Hang on, Bill. I'm not done.
Okay.
So if you look at that, everything that the council and the staff has looked at is baked in this current budget. So for us to say, well, we hope we can get back to 6.25, it's already here. So why say 6.35? Last year, after the budget meeting was over, I spent some time with Michael and the money ladies, as I call them, our finance department. And I said, help me understand this process again. You know, okay, we give you a number. Well, we're just kidding. This is the highest we can go. So you go back and you do all the work, and you come back. Well, no, this is what we want now. To me, it's like we're chasing our tail. We either say 6.25 is a good number or it's not. And based on what we talked about on Tuesday, it was a good number. So for $100,000, what would you put in this budget that's not there?
I have absolutely no idea.
But see, that's the whole point.
I don't know what's going to be happening over the next 2 months. I don't know.
Okay.
There could be a half a million dollars.
What are you going to do if it's $500,000?
Then I lower it.
But no, I'm saying if you, all of a sudden we can't go any higher than this, so put it at seven.
But then we know we have to hit the reserve,
the
which
point,
I hate
though,
to
Bill,
hit.
For $100,000 that you're talking about, tell me what it is. I've already told you where there's $135,000 right now.
That's assuming we're still going to get the FEMA money.
No, that's
not. Oh, yes,
not
it is.
No, okay, we've assumed FEMA money for the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
In budgets. And we started out with FEMA, Michael. How much did FEMA owe us initially, at the very beginning? What did we submit to FEMA?
For Hurricane Milton?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the number off the top
of
my head.
Just ballpark, 100, 200? Okay, so we're down to 35, Bill.
Yeah.
So we're whittling away. So my whole point is, I already told you where $135,000 is. You're looking at 100. To me, it's not worth sending the staff back to jack the budget back to 6.35 to bring it back down to 6.25, which you say is acceptable if nothing happens between now and September.
Mike, correct me if I'm wrong. Just because we've said 6.35, does the staff have to go back and add that 0.1 mil to the budget?
Well, if you set that as the rate, then that's
no, we're not setting it for rate. That's a tentative rate.
Mm-hmm.
The rate is not going to be set until September.
Right.
So do you have to go back, the entire staff to go back and rebuild the budget at 6.35?
That would be what comes to the council in September.
No, we said a tentative. It's not a fixed. So you really don't have to go back to put that 0.10 in there.
Right. So yeah, you're correct. So yeah, I understand what you're asking.
When you put your final budget together and present it to us, you're going to present, if FEMA comes up with the money, a 6.25.
You're correct. So
you do not have to go back if we vote for a 6.35 right now. You do not have to, or any staff member, go back and completely rebuild the budget at 6.35.
Yeah, that is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So Michael, make sure I understand. So when you come back to council with a budget, a balanced budget, you can't just verbally say 6.35.
Okay, what's going to show up here, let me give you an example of what was done last year. So the council set a budget at a higher level and directed us as staff to bring back something less. And so that's what we did. That was the budget that you saw in September. Between the hearing in July and September, it was the budget at the lower level. So no, we don't have to go back and rebuild the budget and find another amount of money unless that's your direction.
But we're adding $100,000-ish. Where are you going to add it?
All that's being done right now is setting the millage rate that's going to go out on the tax bill.
So on our tax bill, so then when our residents come back, we could be zeros again.
Unless you direct us to put that in there. If that's the budget you want to see in September, then we can do that. But there's two things here. So we're setting a rate. That's all that's happening tonight.
No, it has nothing to do with that. I'm not going to vote.
Okay. So what I'm hearing, I believe, is that the question that you have, and it's a good one, Councilman White, is why would we ever do that if we're really coming back down to 6.25, whereas Councilman Milano, what you're saying is that if we put the money in, at least it's there if we don't, for example, get our FEMA reimbursement, which means it's not going to come down, because I don't think we're going to know one way or the other about FEMA.